Today's Food for the Journey will be a classic reflection of today's readings.
Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. The readings for today's Mass really do speak to us about the consequences of sin. And I think it's an area that we need to pay attention to, not because sin makes us bad. It can have that effect, but it's because it deprives you when you have unconfessed sin or unrepented for sin. It deprives you of the fullness of God's life insofar as we can have it in this life. It darkens the intellect and weakens the will. Sin darkens the intellect and weakens the will. And that's, we don't even recognize that until we find ourselves groping to understand a particular passage in Scripture or a particular commandment, the understanding of that commandment. We find ourselves either perplexed or I don't get it or whatever. And often that's because sin has darkened our intellect and weakened our will. So if you repent for your sin regularly, you're going to find that your mind is less and less darkened, and your will is less and less weak. You're going to begin to desire, you're going to begin to hunger and thirst for God, because it's what you were created for. So even when you listen to this program, say to the Lord, Lord, I do repent of my sin. I am sorry for this or that. I want to be able to hear you clearly and follow you more closely. First reading from the second book of Kings, chapter 17, verses 5 to 8, and then 13 to 15. Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, occupied the whole land and attacked Samaria, which he besieged for 3 years. Whoa! Can you imagine people living in an area like that? In the 9th year of Hoshea, king of Israel, the king of Assyria took Samaria and deported the children of Israel to Assyria, settling them in Halah at the Habor, a river of Gozan, and the cities of the Medes. This came about because the children of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from the domination of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, because they venerated other gods. God rescued them. And after they got settled in some place, you know what it is. You always look back and say, oh, it was better back there. This was better. They start longing for what they had in Egypt. And yet, while they were in Egypt, they were begging God to free them. Isn't that the way the human nature vacillates? When we get something that's good, it's not enough for very long. And then we're moaning and weeping and crying and wishing that we had this and had we had that. We're fickle as human beings. And what the Lord wants to do is get us rooted in Him so we can see His plan more clearly. We can follow Him more closely and bear fruit in this life. All of this difficulty, being under siege of foreign armies, being destroyed in your own land and having to go out into exile, this came about because of the children of Israel sinned against the Lord, their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the domination of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and because they venerated other gods, they followed false gods. Do you have a false god in your life? You could. We all could at different times in our lives. Are you putting your time, your attention, your talent, your money? Are you putting it towards something that is false, that is not of God, that will destroy you in the end? Are you worshiping a false god? Money, sex, and power are three of the key avenues. Are you worshiping a false god? If you are, you're going to be more blind and more deafened and more unable to hear the power of God's word and to hear His voice and to hear what He has for you. You need to make a choice. And you need to make it ASAP. This came about because the children of Israel sinned against the Lord their God, who had brought them up from the land of Egypt, from under the domination of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and because they venerated other gods. They followed the rites of the nations whom the Lord had cleared out of the way of the children of Israel, and the kings of Israel whom they set up. And though the Lord warned Israel and Judah by every prophet and seer, give up your evil ways and keep my commandments and statutes in accordance with the entire law, which I enjoined on your fathers and which I sent you by my servants, the prophets, they did not listen, but were as stiff-necked as their fathers who had not believed in the Lord their God. They rejected his statutes, the covenant which he had made with their fathers, and the warnings which he had given them, till in his great anger against Israel, the Lord put them away out of his sight. Only the tribe of Judah was left. They were decimated because they worshiped false gods. Because even though God had been tremendously good to them and they had praised him, it hadn't passed on from generation to generation. And what are human beings given if we're not totally fixed and rooted in the Lord? We go after false gods. We're given desires when we're not so much given desires, but our own fleshly, selfish desires rise up in ourselves if we choose not to follow God. And they sound good at the beginning, but what they do is they lead us astray. They lead us away from God. And then we wonder why life is so difficult sometimes. Sometimes it's because God is asking us to carry the cross with him. But sometimes, brothers and sisters, we've brought it on ourselves. Psalm 60, help us with your right hand, O Lord, and answer us. You've rejected us. You've broken our defenses. You have been angry. Rally us. You've rocked the country. You've split it open. Repair the cracks in it, for it is tottering. You've made your people feel hardships. You've given us stupefying wine. Have you not, O God, rejected us so that you go not forth, O God, with our armies? Lord, have you turned away from us? He doesn't turn away from us. It's we who turn away from him. Give us aid against the foe, for worthless is the help of men. Finally, we can come to our senses. Give us aid, O God. Give us aid against our enemies. Help us, restore us, return us, and we will follow you all the days of our lives. But we're of pretty fickle people. One day we're very enthusiastic and very inspired, and God, you can have anything. And the next day we're clinging to the smallest thing. Don't take this from me. Brothers and sisters, we've got to get more rooted in Christ, more rooted in his word, more rooted in the power of the sacraments by which he shares himself with us to equip us, to fortify us, to strengthen us. Put your time, your energy, your talent into those things that are going to last forever or help people to draw closer to God. And the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 to 5, Jesus said to his disciples, stop judging that you may not be judged. For as you judge, so will you be judged. And the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? The way I translate that sometimes is, why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but you don't see the tree trunk that is in your own eye? Does that make the image clearer for you? It might in the modern day. A wooden beam was huge. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me remove that splinter from your eye, while the wooden beam is in your eye, you hypocrite? Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye. You see, this is what happens to us. If we're threatened in any way, and we're all threatened a lot of the time. If you're threatened in any way, your tendency is to say, well, I'm not as bad as so-and-so, or look at what that person did. My goodness, how terrible. And somehow we think that covers over our own evil. And what Jesus is saying, no. How can you judge your brother when you're blind? When you yourself are blind, that's another way of putting it. How can you decide what your brother's intentions and motives are? You can't see into his mind and heart. You can only judge by the external. And you only should be judging the external if you have some responsibility in that situation. Otherwise, stop judging. And put your effort into getting the splinter or the beam out of your own eye. Pay attention to yourself. We're always pointing the finger at other people. We're always telling other people what they should be doing, or at least we're thinking what they should be doing. And we're not paying attention to the blocks in our own life. God is very clear on this. So if you're doing that, if it makes you, quote, happy, end of quote, to be judging your brothers and sisters because somehow you think, well, at least I don't do that, and I don't do that, and I don't do this. And so you feel more satisfied about yourself. But brothers and sisters, we're not looking at ourselves as God wants us to look at ourselves. He never shows us our sin to condemn us. He shows us our sin so that we can repent of it and be healed and be restored. And oftentimes, not always, but oftentimes the difficulties in our lives have come because of unrepented sin, because we're not willing to face it. And spiritually, we become, because of that unconfessed sin, we can become deaf, dumb, and blind spiritually. We think we see, we think we hear, but many times we don't. So the important thing is that we see the consequences of sin. We see the consequences of our own selfishness and pay attention there. Clean out your own house before you go out to clean out the house of another. Take a look at yourself before God. We certainly had time to do this during Lent, but it doesn't take long for our sins to accumulate again, does it? It doesn't even take an hour sometimes. Face your sin. God doesn't show you that to defeat you, to discourage you. He asks you to face your sin and repent of it so you can be free. And so the scales can fall from your eyes and the blocks can be taken from your ears and you can hear him and see him and have the grace to follow him. That's what the Lord wants. He wants your good. He doesn't want you ashamed and condemned. He wants your good. And if we face our sin and repent for it, we will be set free. Really. Brothers and sisters, God has so much for us. Let's not be like the children of Israel and keep repeating the same mistakes. May God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.